The stack of papers on my desk has finally shrunk to a single sheet, and that sheet is just a list of things I want to do, not need to do, want to. It's day 5, and I've stopped being a tourist with a checklist and started being someone who lives here. The morning light is already thick and golden over the rooftops, and the city is humming its slow August tune. The heat will be here soon, but for now there's a window of cool air, and I'm going to use it. I walk out of my flat in the old heart of the city, near Corfu, and the streets are already alive. A man is hosing down the pavement in front of his shop, the water making a dark fan on the concrete. A woman is carrying a stack of round naan bread, still steaming from the tender, wrapped in a cloth. The smell of fresh bread and diesel and dust mixes into something that is purely Tashkent. I'm not heading to a monument or a museum today. I'm heading to a coffee shop, because a city only becomes yours when you find where you take your morning coffee. There's a place I've been meaning to try, a spot called Raspberry Coffee Roasters. It's a bit of a walk from Corfu, so I decide to take the metro. I tap my Tashkent card at the gate. A ride costs about 2,000 som, which is less than 20 cents, so it's basically free. The station is cool and tiled, a relief from the gathering heat. The train arrives, and I get on, watching the passengers. A grandmother with a bag of melons, a student with a laptop, a man in a sharp suit checking his phone. The metro is the great equalizer. I get off at Amir Timur Square, where the equestrian statue of Timur stands, and the city opens up around me. Raspberry Coffee Roasters is a small, modern place, all exposed brick and concrete, with a counter full of pastries and a big, shiny espresso machine. The barista nods as I walk in. I order a flat white, and she asks if I want it with the house blend or something single origin. I go for the house blend, and within a minute, she's sliding a cup across the counter. The coffee is good, properly good, not just good for Tashkent good. The milk is silky, the shot is rich. I pay about 23,000 som, which is around $2. Back home in London, this would be £4 at least. I sit by the window and watch the city go by. This is the life I'm building here. I sip my coffee and think about the rhythm I've fallen into over these 5 days. The city wakes early, works until the heat peaks, then sleeps through the afternoon and comes alive again in the evening. It's a siesta rhythm, but it's not about laziness. It's about survival. The August sun is a physical presence, and you learn to respect it. My mornings are for errands, for writing, for exploring the cool hours. The afternoon is for a long lunch, a nap, or a book in the shade. The evening is for strolls, for tea, for the bazaar when it gets its second wind. After my coffee, I walk over to the Corfu Bazaar again. I know, I've already done a whole episode on it, but there's a difference between visiting a market and shopping at it. Today, I'm not a tourist with a camera. I'm a resident with a shopping list. The blue dome rises against the clear sky, and I duck inside. The air is thick with the smell of spices, dried fruit, and grilled meat. I'm here for a few things. Some naan, some fruit, maybe some nuts. I weave through the stalls, and the vendors call out to me in Russian, in Uzbek. I'm getting better at the basics. I pick up some peaches and a chunk of honeycomb, and I pay with a 50,000 som note. The woman hands me back a fan of smaller notes, and I pocket them without thinking. This is becoming second nature. I wander into the part of the bazaar where the butchers are, and the meat is laid out on counters, gleaming under the lights. A man is hacking at a side of lamb with a cleaver, and for a moment I'm just a spectator. But I'm also hungry, and I know there's a place nearby that serves fresh samsa. I find a little stand, a hole in the wall, and order 2 lamb samsas. They come out of the tender, blistered and golden, and I eat them standing up, the juice running down my wrist. That's maybe 12,000 som for both. It's a perfect moment. The flaky pastry, the spiced meat, the chaos of the market around me. This is what I came for. I sit on a low wall near the bazaar, licking the grease off my fingers, and watch the flow of people. There's a family loading a minibus with watermelons, a couple of teenagers sharing a bottle of Coke, an old man with a cane, a dog curled up in the shade of a stall. The sounds wash over me. The call of vendors, the beep of a reversing truck, the clatter of crates. I'm starting to know this place, not as a collection of sights, but as a living, breathing neighborhood. It's a good feeling. The heat is climbing now, so I decide to head back to the flat for the siesta. But before I do, I want to check out a place I keep hearing about, a new business district called Tashkent City. It's the post-2017 boom made visible, all glass towers and glossy malls. I take a marshrutka, those little white minibuses that weave through traffic like they're in a hurry to be somewhere else. It costs a couple of thousand som, and it's an adventure in itself. I get out at a wide boulevard, and there it is, the new face of Tashkent. Tashkent City is a contrast to the old city I just left behind. It's all new concrete and curving architecture, a park with fountains, and a string of cafes and shops. It's polished and a bit sterile, but it's also a sign of the city's ambition. I walk through the park, past families with strollers and couples taking selfies in front of the fountains. I'm not sure this is my part of the city, but I'm glad it exists. It's another layer of this complicated place. I find a bench in the shade and take out my phone to check the news. Apparently, there was a planned water shutdown yesterday that affected a few districts across the city, with water trucks circulating to help. People I met were pretty blasé about it, just part of life in August. And I read that the city commission is probing a construction site collapse near Biruni Metro Station, which makes me think about how quickly the city is building and the costs that come with it. There's also a story about a charter flight bringing back 18 Uzbek citizens deported from the US. It's a reminder that the city is connected to a wider world, with all its complications. I get up and start walking back, but I take a different route, through the old mahallas, the residential neighborhoods with their mud brick walls and wooden gates. The streets are narrow and shady, and there's a sense of quiet that feels miles away from Tashkent City. A woman is hanging laundry on a line strung between two trees. A cat watches me from a windowsill. The cicadas are buzzing in the trees. This is the old heart of the city, and it's beating steadily. I could get lost here, and I think I'd be happy about it. Back at the flat, I close the curtains against the afternoon sun and lie down for a nap. I'm learning to do as the locals do, and that means napping like it's a job. The white noise of the city drifts in through the open window, and I sleep for an hour. When I wake, the light has softened, and the air has cooled a little. It's time for the evening, and I'm hungry. I make my way to Besh Kozan, the Plav Center near the TV tower, because if there's one dish that deserves a repeat visit, it's plav. I sit at one of the long tables under the pavilion, and the giant kazans are still steaming. I order a bowl, and it arrives with a piece of lamb and a whole garlic clove buried in the rice. I eat it slowly, savoring the flavors, the carrot, the cumin, the richness of the meat. A bowl here is around 25,000 to 40,000 som, depending on what you want, and it's a feast. I'm surrounded by families, by groups of men talking and laughing, by the clatter of cutlery and the low hum of conversation. This is a communal experience, and I feel like I'm part of it, just for a moment. After plav, I decide to get a drink at a cafe near the river. I remember there's a place called Socials Minor, which seems to be a popular spot. I order a mint tea and a slice of honey cake, and I sit on their terrace, watching the river flow. The sun is setting, and the sky is a gradient of orange and pink. The city is cooling down and people are coming out to stroll. A group of teenagers on bikes passes by, laughing. A young couple is sitting on a bench holding hands. I feel a sense of peace. This is what I was looking for. A place where the days have a rhythm, where the same faces start to become familiar, where you have a routine. I walk home through the streets and the lights are coming on. The air smells of shashlik smoke and sweet melon. I stop at a stall to buy a small watermelon, about 15,000 som, and I carry it back to the flat, feeling its weight, the promise of cold, sweet relief. I'll chill it in the fridge and eat it tomorrow afternoon the way I've learned to. I unlock the door, kick off my shoes, and wash my hands. The city hums outside my window, a lullaby of a place that is slowly becoming home. Tomorrow, I have a few more errands, and then I'll start thinking about the journey south. Samarkand, Bokhara, Khiva, the names feel like music, and they're waiting for me. But for now, I'm here, and here is good. This is Tashkent in August, and I'm finally living, not just visiting, but living. I think that's the real travel, the part that happens after the checklist is done. The part where you find your cafe, your favorite bazaar stall, your evening walk. And that's what I'm doing. One sip, one bite, one step at a time. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Rahmat for listening. Oh wait, I just remembered. There's a small thing I want to tell you. If you're coming here and you have a foreign phone, remember to register its IMEI with your SIM provider, or your SIM might not work. It's a small step, but it can save you a lot of hassle. And keep some cash on you for the bazaars, as many stalls don't take cards. That's it. Talk soon.